the series as it has to do with Joseph. And the series is wait and tell it, or don't tell it too soon. Genesis chapter 50, verse 17. As you're turning there, I want to tell you this. I'm not a very good pastor. I didn't get into ministry to have a title. I didn't. I got into ministry because one day, God saved me. But then, about a year later, He started dealing my heart. He started really pressing me and showing me things in the Word. And my heart was to see souls saved. That was it. And I don't know if that's... I really wanted to just change lives. I wanted everybody to get what I had. And then, you know, as I've gotten older in this, I've been doing this for a little while now, it seems like we try to become polished, or we try to become something that's impressive. And I just want to be honest with you. I ain't that. I just ain't. I'm just a country boy who got saved by God, and I'm trying to tell other people about Him in the way that He told me to do it. And I ain't always going to do that right. I'm going to make a lot of mistakes. But it ain't because I don't love God. And it ain't going to be because I don't love you either. Amen? The church, sometimes we try to dress up and look good instead of trying to be what God wants us to be. Genesis chapter 50. Did I give you enough time to get there? The title of this message will be Don't Tell It Too Soon. Wait in Your Dark Place. Wait in Your Dark Place. That don't sound like fun, does it? Waiting in your dark place. Let's read right here in verse 17. It says, "So shall ye unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee, now the trespasses of thy brethren and their sin. For they do unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespasses of thy servants of the God of thy father." And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. He wept. His brothers were standing there and they couldn't figure out what in the world he was going to do to them. And he began to weep. And as I've studied this series and studied Joseph, I'm trying to figure out why he wept. Was he upset because they didn't understand what he was going through? Was it because he spent his whole life in Egypt? 17 years old, all the way up to 30, he spent his life in a foreign country. But in a foreign country, being raised by God. They didn't understand. They couldn't relate to him. So they're trying to figure out, what is he going to do to them? He's like, "I'm not going to do anything to you. The worst thing you think ever happened to me was the best thing that ever happened to me." Do you know why they started hating on Joseph? Because he was a dreamer. He was an interpreter of dreams. God is the true interpreter, but they spoke him through Joseph. And Joseph made the mistake one day of saying, "You know what? I've got a dream and I'm going to tell you about it." Some of us will make a mistake every once in a while and we'll expose that God wants to use imperfect people. Some of the worst things you can do is say, "Hey, I believe God's got a calling on my life." Because you know what? Then the microscope's going to come out and people are going to start looking for your imperfections. Let me tell you something, it won't take long to find them. Because we're imperfect people saved by a merciful and graceful God. God snatched him out of his family and took him down to Egypt. And when he got down there, he had grace on his life. Did you look with me in 39:4? This is amazing. Write this down for you, Bible. If you're a real geekster like me and you really like to get in the Word of God, check out look at 39:4. Genesis 39:4. Look at this. When he first got down there, it said, "And Joseph found grace in Potiphar's sight." Do you see that? He found grace. But look in verse 21, it says, but the Lord was with Joseph and he showed him what? Woo! Ain't that a big something right there? When God sent Joseph down to Egypt, he embraced him, he covered him, he baptized him into grace and mercy. How many of you are glad this morning that God kept you in grace and mercy? How many believe this morning that's an awesome recipe? Unmerited favor, giving you what you don't deserve, amen? And having mercy when you probably do deserve, just mercy. Golly, bum, I love that. He's about to go in prison and God said, don't worry, I got mercy for you here. Potiphar should have killed him, amen? Potiphar, the captain of the guard, the man that had his life in the balances, showed him mercy. But it wasn't him, it was God. I'm glad sometimes I get mercy and sometimes I get grace. He goes into the prison house. Joseph in the prison house. Lowest part of his life. I started thinking about this morning and I'm sitting there telling Melissa, I said, listen, Melissa, I got something from God. I don't want to add it to the sermon because I've already got it ready. And God wants to throw another ingredient in. But do you know what God did to him? God took him to the very lowest place of life. He put him in prison. I know some of us in here, me too, I think God moves in prisons. I do, I believe it. But there's also prisoners there. And some of them belong there. Believe it or not. Not everybody's innocent. Could you imagine where God done Joseph's greatest work? He takes him and he puts him in the prison and he puts him over the prison. At first we're like, God, I wish I could preach to somebody. At first we're like, hey man, I'm still alive. There's times in ministry where you feel like somebody's going to kill you. It's going to kill me, Lord. And let me tell you something. Guys, if you're a minister or aspire to be in ministry, women, same thing, if you aspire to be in some kind of ministry, hey, what you're trying to do will feel like it's killing you sometimes. It's meant that way. And can I go ahead and go a step further? I will. Amen. All right, look, if you get into something you're not meant to be in, it will kill you. I'll just wait on that one. I've got ahead of God before. I'm like, man, this is killing me because you're standing in the wrong place, doing the wrong thing. Okay, I'll get back to where you want me, God. Woo, hey, wait a minute, I can handle this, even though everybody else looking in your life thinking it's going to kill you. Amen. Joseph's like, I'm alive. He accused me of sleeping with his wife and I've been cast into prison. I'm alive. But then all of a sudden the guard comes up and puts a cloak on him and says, now you are in charge of the prison. Why didn't he just kill me? I'm in charge of the prison. You know it's his job to work with the worst of the worst. Why do you think God's doing this to him? God first lets him experience his family. Then he allows him to experience Potiphar and being lied on and in business and in commerce. And then he goes into the prison. He's got to deal with the worst of the worst. You know why he's doing that? Some of y'all right now are going, why am I going through the hardest place of my life? Why am I so low? Why is this? Because God has some big stuff for you to do. And guess what? He's got to put you through it. You won't be able to stand. You will not be able to do what you're called to do unless he takes you through every bit of trouble that he can throw at you. And he will not break you. He will make you. He's not breaking Joseph. He's making Joseph. Can I preach right here for a minute? I want you to hear this. Joseph was 17 years old when he was sold into slavery. 17. He made a decision. I'm going to trust God even though it doesn't seem like I can. I'm speaking to somebody in here. You're young. Amen? You're young. And you're being pulled in a million different directions. You're being pulled in every way possible. And you're wondering if you can trust God. I'm telling you this morning, you can trust Him more than your circumstance. You can trust Him more than your situation. Just trust Him despite of how you feel. He's a prisoner now. He's in a dark place. He's working with people he don't want to work with. He's walking the halls of this prison, and he's got this thing in him. He's like, man, God, why am I here? I'm not guilty. I didn't do anything wrong. Is anybody else here this morning saying, why am I here? I didn't do anything wrong. God, I love you. I trust you. And it seems like you're testing me harder than you're testing other people that don't seem like they trust in you. I read your word. I pray. I follow you. And I seem like I'm getting tried and they're just going to lunch. I've got big things for you. And I've got to let you be tested. I've got to let you be tried. I've got to get some things in you. Amen. Preach. I've got to get some things in you, but I've got to get some things out of you as well. Me and my wife went to Dollywood years back, and I was a young preacher, and we were walking around, and all of a sudden they had an outside expose of somebody doing pottery. And I was mesmerized. You can't really get mesmerized in Dollywood. And it was during the fall time. Everybody was up there. I mean, it was cram-packed. And this guy starts making this pottery on the wheel. And I flash back to Jeremiah. Poof, I'm like, Jeremiah, the potter, the wheel. I went down to the potter's house. And I stood there. And my wife's like, we're going to go over here to this shop. I'm like, go ahead. We're going to do this. Come on, Kevin. I'm in right here. I'm in. This guy's preaching. They're like, all right, whatever, Kevin. And I seen him. He had his hands on the outside of this thing, and he's adding water to it, and he's spinning it and spinning it and spinning it, and that thing's just spinning. You ever felt like your world just spinning? And all of a sudden, he puts his hand on the outside of it, and he just starts to caress it and mold it and make it. And I'm like, man, that's good. That's real good. I love that. Yeah, that's good. I know when God's hand's on me. Oh, I love that. Oh, but then... oh, it's awful because he takes out this metal piece of equipment and sticks his hand down in it. I've been there too. This scraper. And he speeds the wheel up. And he got his hand on the outside still. But then he takes his hand and he starts scraping the inside of this thing. And then he pulls out a bunch and goes... I'm like, God, how many times do you got to do that? Over and over and over. He stuck his hand back in, and he went in, and he pulled some stuff out and just slung it on the ground. And I started thinking, my God, how many times do you got to go on the inside of me and take that scraping tool and just get everything out? And now I find myself in this crazy radical place and said, God, do it again. Do it again. I know I look good on the outside. I know I'm your vessel. But praise God, will you get in again? I have allowed some stuff in me again. Go in. We're so scared of letting God on the inside of us. Really letting Him in the stuff, the areas that we don't want Him. We'll let Him play on the outside. We'll let Him touch something that we're okay with, but will we let Him in the dark places? Will we let Him scrape on you? Will you let Him get the junk out? I want him to touch me. I want Him to use me. I want His hand on me. But do we want Him to get the junk out of us? God, stop meddling. Quit messing with me. Hey, God, I like that. That's kind of stuff. I like that show. I like that movie. I like that music. I like that girl. I like that guy. I like that drama. Oh, yeah, but I don't. I'm getting it out. Because you're not going to be the kind of vessel I need when I'm preaching. Hey, you're not going to be the vessel when I turn the heat up on you. You're not going to be able to stand if I don't fix you right. And the heat will be turned up. And that's another fun part of this message. Dude, so transforms that and makes it. And I'm sitting there going, I know. Oh, I've been there. He takes that pot off that wheel and walks over to a furnace. Huh? Yeah, well, God, what are you doing? You don't love me? Why are you putting me in the furnace? Puts him in the furnace and shuts the door. 1,500 degrees. Don't you think that's a bit much, Lord? Hey, it's hot in here. Can you get me out? I need a break. How many of you would like to have a break this morning? God, just give me a break. I mean, you're putting a little too much on me. You must think more about me than I think of myself, because I feel like this is too hot in here. He opens it, pulls it out like he's not even concerned. He didn't do it in a rush. He didn't do it in a hurry. Takes it out and thumps it. Boom. Apparently, he didn't make the right noise, because he shoves it back in the fire and shuts the door. Takes it out again. Thumps it. Not enough. Stop shutting the door, God. See, can I take you back to the message? See, Joseph, he was down there in the prison. I'm still preaching about this vessel, if you'll help me remember it. Joseph's down there in the prison, and he sees these two guys come into the prison, a butler and a baker, and they got sent down there for no good reason. He had something in common with them, right? Have you ever found somebody that's got something in common with you? You both got the same trouble. He's like, hey guys, you look like sad, right? No, never mind. Did you get that, Derek? Is he in prison? Was he a slave? Was he betrayed by his family? And he's looking at two guys and he said, hey, you guys look sad. What's going on with you? You know, you can be going through all kinds of trouble. You can be going through all kinds of pain, but you can still love other people. You can still be nice to people. You can still love people. You can still encourage people, even while you're going through your mess. If you think I'm preaching to you right now, I'm preaching to me. You can go through stuff and still have good behavior, because they're not going to see Christ in your life unless you're behaving right. If you're just mean for mean's sake, they're never going to see Jesus in you. What they're going to see is you. He looks at her. He looks at these two men. He says, what's wrong with you guys? And they're like, we got sent down here for no good reason. He said, what's going on? He said, we've had some dreams. No, listen. This whole study, this whole book, he dreamed in the very beginning when he was comfortable in his father's house. He had not got another dream. He hadn't operated in his calling another time except when he was in his darkest place. At the lowest time. He's sitting down in the prison, and all of a sudden God says, you know that thing I do with you? You know that thing that I gave you? You know that gift and calling that is without repentance? That thing I gave you that I can't take away and nobody else can take away? I'd like to use it again. And you're like, you want to use it in this place? I want to use your gifts and talents and abilities at the top. He said, you can't use them at the top if you won't use them in the bottom. If you're waiting for perfect opportunities to be a minister of the gospel, you are wasting your time. People need you on the bottom just like they'll need you at the top. Probably maybe even more so. Oh no, I've got this thing off centered. God. So they said, tell us the dream. And they told him the dream. And he interpreted it for them. 3 days later, and you're going to be standing in the same spot you were, doing the same job you were doing. You're going back to this position you were in. Amen? Yes. The baker's like, man, that's cool. Hey, I had a dream also. I seen that I had like some bakery goods on the top of my head. And there were birds picking it out. He goes, that's not so good for you. In 3 days, they're going to cut your head off. Oh, wow. Ain't that cool how he didn't even stutter when he told both dreams and one of them wasn't good? Sometimes as a man of God or somebody that has an influence with God, sometimes you got to tell the good and the bad. Uh-oh. Amen? We got these sugar candy, cotton candy preachers today. We want to talk about all the good, 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 good. Hey, everything's good. Your best life now. Hey, you're going to get this spot. You're going to get the great job. You're going to get that. Let me tell you something. The end of this world's coming. You better be ready. You better be saved. First and foremost, you better repent, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and give Him your whole life. Amen? Because if you ain't there, you ain't got nothing in this lifetime. Joseph said, "Now I've interpreted your dreams and you're going back. When you get there, remember me, because guess what? I don't belong here." Has any of y'all ever spilled your guts to somebody and you said, "I don't know what God's doing. I don't belong here. This is not what I signed up for. I am in the heat. Please, when you get up out of here, tell somebody I'm but a Hebrew man who got lied on and I'm here by accident. I've told you your dream. Please go out there and use it the right way and remember me." I love this. You know what it said? They didn't. Man, I'll preach a message and I'll say, "Man, that was good." I'm serious. I know it ain't me being good. I just think, "Man, that was good." And then I'll say something. I said, "Man, were you there? Did you hear this?" "Yeah, I was." What'd you get out of it?" I'm like, and they're like looking at me like, "Oh no, preacher just asked me what I thought about his message that I didn't pay attention to." I mean, they're looking at me and they're searching. They say stuff like, "Were you in? You were in the Bible, right?" Right? Somewhere between Genesis and Revelations. I remember now. It's coming back. And I'm sitting there going, "Man, that was so good and you didn't remember it?" "No, now don't worry. I'm not going to ask you." Maybe. You know what it says? In chapter 41, verse 1, it says, "It came to pass at the end of 2 full years." 2 more years? In the prison? Emma boys up there just doing what they're doing. One died, but the butler's standing there every day. Until it's time. Until it's right on time. Until the king says, "I have a dream. And nobody can interpret it." And that butler goes, "Oh yeah! There's a guy! In my lowest part, in my lowest turn of my life, there was a guy!" There's a ministry point right here. People are going to remember you if you minister into their life at their lowest point. It's not these big heroic things you do. Hey, listen, and it ain't got to be great, powerful words. It might just be you sitting alongside of somebody, putting your arm around them, saying, "I don't have a clue what you're going through, but I do love you. And I am praying. And I'm hurt like you're hurt, but I don't have a clue." Amen? But if you do have a clue, that's even better. You can say, "I know exactly how you feel. I've been through what you've been through. But I'm going to sit here and shut up anyway because I love you." Amen. Remember I was telling you about that pottery? thumped it. But when he pulled it out that next time, he done something to it. And it must have made the sound that he wanted. Amen? Praise God. When God takes you out of the fire, you might just want to go ahead and just start praising Him. You know what I mean? I think that's what He wants us to hear. Amen? I think He takes you out of there and all of a sudden you start going, "Well, I didn't like this. I didn't like that. God, what are you doing? Why are you doing this?" Opens the door, pulls you out, and you go, "God, I don't know what you're doing. I'm grateful. You're so good. I'm so bad. Oh, God, you're awesome. I love you. I praise you." Hey, that's a good one. Amen? I got you right where I wanted you. See, because he took Potiphar, he took him all the way up. As they come get a song, they took him all the way up to Potiphar. And it took they took him all the way up to Pharaoh. Everything Joseph had been through from 17 to 30, amen, was getting him ready to stand on the biggest stage of his life. To say the things that need to be said. To operate in the calling and the gift of his ability. Some of you are standing here right now in this morning and maybe you're going through the hardest time of your life. And I'm going to say the hardest words to you. Wait. Wait to see what God does and don't tell it too soon. Because if you told it right now, you wouldn't be singing the way you're going to be singing 10 years from now, 2 years from now. And some of you are sitting here right now, you're on the opposite side of this message. Maybe 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, you were in the furnace. You were in the fire. You were in the hardest, darkest place of your life. And if you had told it back then, you would have said, this is the worst thing that's ever happened to me. But now, just a few years later, you're sitting there going, God showed out during that time. He showed more of Himself to me during that dark time than He ever did. And looking back on it, He made me more of a Christian then than any other time in my life. Sometimes you have to go to the dark, low places and wait for God to really make you who you are, where He can really show out through you some other time. Is that hard as American Christianity in 2016? Nobody wants to hear that, do you? Wait. Hey, wait. No, we're the ones, we go to the drive-thru, we get to the thing, give me this, 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 and you better have it ready. One of the worst things you can ever be told. This happened to me yesterday. You pull up to the window, and what do they say? What do they say, Derek? Can you pull right up there? Yeah, in the no man's land. Now I'm waiting on 15-year-old kids to remember that I'm somewhere in the parking lot. I could preach a whole another hour on that. But God says it a lot, don't He? Wait on me. Wait on me. I'm coming. This is not for your hurt. This is for your help to save much people alive. And I'll say this as we stand. Sometimes God will turn your whole world upside down to save much people alive. You know when you got saved and you said, God, I trust You with the rest of my life. You know what He said? You just trusted Me to do whatever it takes to save much people alive with your life. As they sing, if you got to talk to the Lord, please come.